from the Paytons yesterday. It's kind of like an Office Space, the Bobs. We heard from the Paytons, Sean Payton, George Payton. Sean Payton spoke to the media for quite some time while he's around the NFL Combine. In fact, he was supposed to speak for only like 15 minutes or whatever, but apparently he spoke for like 24 minutes. He walked up to the podium 10 minutes before his scheduled news conference. So he was raring to go. He was ready to get up there. George Payton followed. George Payton had some interesting things to say. Sean Payton had some interesting things to say. Can you keep the Payton straight? I just asked a poll question earlier. Who's your favorite sports Payton? So there's Gary Payton. There's Walter Payton. There's Peyton Manning. There's George Payton, which I'm guessing is not going to get a lot of votes. And Sean Payton's probably going to get some. There's a lot of, and there's other Paytons. Gary Payton Jr. Peyton Hillis.
We'll go Walter Payton.
You know what's funny is I was a huge, diehard Gary Payton fan. Loved getting Gary Payton basketball cards. Just, I don't know why, just loved it. Because he's the glove. He was the best defensive player, one of the greatest defensive players. So, I mean, Gary Payton's up there. Peyton Manning's probably there because he's a Bronco. But Gary Payton is definitely a... It's definitely close up there in my Payton voting here. But there's a lot of Paytons to track here. George Payton talked let's just go through some of the main notes. You know, George Payton said that it's looking like Javonte Williams is going to be a go to start next season, like to start early next season. That's a big deal because yesterday we talked about how maybe he might not even go at the halfway point. Who knows? He might even miss the whole season. That changes things. Tim Patrick seems to be like he's on track. They're both on track, according to George Payton. Sean Payton said he wouldn't rule out Matt Patricia joining the staff. So that's still up in the air. They want Alex Singleton back. They had talks with Draymond Jones that were positive, but they are going to let him test free agency. Those are the important things. The fun things are what Sean Payton said. let me ask you this, Angel. Okay, you have a clip. Let's listen to Sean Payton talking about what could have been if Vic Fangio would have accepted the job as defensive coordinator of the Denver Broncos.
Let's start with the Dolphins. They're getting a tremendous coach. I mean, you keep hearing everyone's running Fangio's defense, and then Fangio and I are retired, just sitting out there. I used to give him a hard time. I'm like, God, Vic, half the teams in this league are running your defense, and you haven't met half of those people. Look, I consider him a friend. We've never worked together. Do I think he would have been a great asset for us? Yes. And so we were planning, you know, in this year away, if the right scenario came up, that we'd work together. And I think this one was just a little unique because – It wasn't too long ago he was here. But certainly I tried, talked to him, tried to twist his arm. I'm excited for his opportunity in Miami. I think he's a talented coach. We went against each other for years, like our teams, and it was always a challenge.
First off, I like the transparency. I do. Hey, I went after him. A lot of times you get coaches that are like, you know, yeah, Vic Fangio's name was certainly in the mix when we were talking. And, you know, obviously we had some conversations, but one thing led to another and it just didn't make sense. No, Sean Payton's making no bones about it. We wanted Vic Fangio. He was our guy. That's who I wanted to be our defensive coordinator. How do you feel if you're Vance Joseph hearing that? That's got to be kind of weird. I mean, we knew he was the second or third choice or something like that, but got to be strange. And this is why coaches give you coach speak, because they don't want to throw other guys under the bus. That's why I always said the hiring process for hiring a head coach is always unique, because you're going all in on this guy, but then that guy says no. Okay, well, now we got to backtrack and say, oh no, you're our guy. It is wide open like that. But that's got to be strange for Vance to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, you're twice now that you've come in second behind Fangio as a head coach and yeah, as a defensive coordinator.
Okay, I guess.
Well, you got replaced by him.
You got replaced by him, so yeah.
They actually wanted him over you, and you were just...
So it's twice you kind of lost to Vic Fangio, yeah. Kind of, in a roundabout way. Yes. Stupid Vic Fangio. I'll show him who has the better V name. He talked about Russell Wilson. You know, obviously that's going to be a big point of emphasis for him is to figure out this whole thing and what they're going to be doing. He acknowledged that he tried to convince Vic, as we pointed out, but he is planning on having different conversations with Matt Patricia about a potential role with the staff. He said it was a little early to know if a spot would materialize for Patricia because they kind of got most of their spots filled, really. So what sense would it make? Some kind of linebacker advisor? What else? Talked about Russ. The funny thing about Russ was he's like, yeah, I sat with Joe Montana and Russell Wilson at lunch or dinner during the Super Bowl week. And Russ, you know, wanted to talk about the future and X's and O's. And I wanted to talk to Joe Montana. Sean Payton brought that up again. He also brought up the fact that Russ is really working on Drew Brees to get, hey, what's this like? What do I do? And things like that, which is good and bad, but it does sound like Sean Payton's kind of like, dude, just pump the brakes. He also said that the office stuff, he's like, if things would have went positively last year, obviously Sean Payton wouldn't be here. Then he said the office stuff probably wouldn't be a concern. Still think it's a concern.
We were concerned when we heard it.
Yeah, it was concerned. But what if they would have went to the playoffs and it was like, everybody loves it? Can't imagine that everybody would love that.
It's still strange.
Even if you win, it still seems weird. He said he's looking forward to working with Russell Wilson. He's trying to figure out how to help him get back on the right track. But he's clearly, intentionally, not going overboard, which I think is interesting.
Peyton or Russ?
Peyton's not going overboard talking about Russ. Which means you're leaving that opening. When John Elway, not to compare Russ to Tebow, John Elway made a big mistake because with Tim Tebow after that phenomenal year, the magical year of Tebow, where they went to the playoffs and they won a game, Elway said that Tim Tebow was their guy. He said it. He's our guy. Then Peyton Manning became available as a free agent. That's it. No longer our guy. Well, you had the crazy Tebowites that were like, how dare you? You went against Tim Tebow. You said he was your guy. And I'm like, yeah, he did before the greatest quarterback on the planet at the time became available. Peyton's not going to make that mistake. He's not going to go all in on, yeah, Russ, no, we can get him back. We'll absolutely. Elway did the same thing to Brock Osweiler. We're going to get Brock Osweiler back here from Houston. We're going to get him into some quarterback rehab and get him back to where he belongs. And, you know, a lot of people are buying into that. Like, okay, Brock's going to be the guy. Sean Payton's leaving it open.
He's keeping him an arm's length away rather than tied to the hip.
Yep. Which is smart. A lot of things Sean Payton has done in this process has been very smart. Let me just say one little thing. Because I can't jump on the whole, Sean Payton is...
You're not there yet.
He's the adult in the room. He's doing all the right things. Let me just say this. Sean Payton was in the media for the last 2 years. He knows how the game is. And he likes it. Clearly, if you're a coach that gets into the media, you love the media portion of all of this. You love talking to the media. You love laying out your plans. And maybe that changes when the season starts and we get a little more curmudgeon-y. But Sean Payton was talking about sports and football and coaches for the last 2 years. He's been chomping at the bit to get up there and talk about his plan and him being the center of attention. I'm just saying, pump the brakes before everybody's freaking out because he got there 10 minutes early. Oh, that's dedication. Oh, he backed down the moderator that basically says, okay, two more questions. Everybody's making a big deal about that. No, that Peyton shut him down and said, no, we'll quit when I'm done. I'm just, that doesn't sound to me like this is a, oh, he's in control. Yeah, he's in control, but it's also a little cocky, which is okay, I guess. But just before we freak out, oh, he arrived to his press conference 10 minutes early. This guy gets it. Now, he gets it from winning a Super Bowl and things he did with Drew Brees and stuff. But, dude, we're doing it again. You guys are doing it again. Last year, Nathaniel Hackett got up and said, oh, I like Star Wars, and I'm like, what's his face, and Russell freaking Wilson, and I was a backup dancer for a pop singer group, and I like Ciara, and all the media, probably me a little bit, we all kind of went in on it. Oh, I love this guy. And maybe not even a little bit's fair. I really liked Nathaniel Hackett. You guys are doing it again. Now everything that Sean Payton does is gold, same as Nathaniel Hackett until the season started. When Nathaniel Hackett talked about doing not doing seven on sevens, people were like, oh, that's an amazing idea, because you're not, come to think of it, you're not playing 7-on-7 out there, so why would you do that? That was kind of Nathaniel Hackett could be revolutionary for this game. He's not going to do preseason? Okay. Still, if this works, he's revolutionary for the game. Love how he's so open and hugs everybody. And I love that. That's a new style. And he's going to change the way. I bought into it, too. I did that. I said those things. Now it's the opposite. Oh, we got an adult in the room that's salty, that's pushing people around. And he's not going to... He'll tell you when he's done with the press conference. I'll tell you when I'm done. Okay? It's the complete opposite of Hackett. But you guys know what you're doing, right? You're getting sucked into this where he can do no wrong. All I'm saying... Slower on down, acknowledge some positives, but be a little hesitant here. You guys are opening yourselves up for a big heartbreak. I think this team's going to be good. I think they're going to be better. I think maybe eventually this team gets into the playoffs, but that all depends on who your quarterback is. If it's Russ from 2 years ago, you will be in the playoffs. If it's Russ from last year, you will not be in the playoffs. And if it's not Russ... We don't know who it is, so you can't say they'll be in the playoffs. Just because he's a good coach doesn't mean he can turn water into wine. Sean McVay couldn't do that last year, and we all think he's a great coach. His team was terrible last year. Still takes players. So what I'm going to say today is I'm excited about Sean Payton. I am. I'm excited that Javonte Williams and Tim Patrick are going to be back in the mix. But don't fall into the same trap again, Broncos country. You guys are jumping right in on this, where now you're hanging on every single thing that he does. I love that he tweeted back a reporter. I love that he went long in his press conference. I love that he called Russell Wilson out in front of the media several times so far. I love that he's saying he wanted Vic Fangio and being honest with us. And whatever, there's a byproduct of that, a negative byproduct of that. Vance Joseph is like, what the hell, man? I like the transparency. I do. It's entertaining. But I just wonder, all that transparency, how that's going to affect the guys like Russ, the guys like Vance Joseph, going forward. Don't hang on every word. Not everything is gold. But it's still going in a better direction than it was. I'll give you that. 19 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, let's catch up with Kyle Fredrickson, talk about a team that is going in the right direction, and that's Colorado Avalanche. They're making picks. They're making moves. Are those moves going to be good enough for them to repeat what they did last year? They were a good team, borderline great, probably great, that made enough moves to ensure that they could make a run at the Stanley Cup. Can they do it again? We'll talk to Kyle Fredrickson in just a moment. Let's take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Several teams, one goal. Win it all. Your high school basketball playoffs on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on the whole show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Kyle Fredrickson joining me now, Colorado Avalanche beat writer for the Denver Gazette. Kyle, my man, here we go. We're talking about the Avs. They're starting to make a run here. They're starting to make some moves, too. Boy, it's exciting watching what this team does, because I think everybody has it in the back of their mind. Well, they were really good last year. We expected them to win a Stanley Cup, but they made moves to almost ensure that. Does it seem like we're seeing a little bit of the same thing this season, Kyle?
Yeah, it's an interesting time for the Avalanche and sort of figuring out what their priorities are, who's still available. I really appreciated the chance to chat with GM Chris McFarland. He was made available for a quick press conference the other night before an Avs game, where he kind of just broke down his thoughts on the trade deadline. A lot of non-answers. He didn't tell us a lot. I think he was very truthful in terms of the Avs thinking that if a player is out there that makes sense for them, they'll go ahead and try to get that player, but they're not going to overextend themselves. And when you look at the deals that they've made so far, they haven't made a big swing or added a name that totally changes the conversation about the team, much like we've seen out in the East with a lot of really high-profile trades. But to me, the moves that they've made have signaled that, I think McFarland, for the most part, believes that this core of players has what it takes to repeat as Cup champions. It's just a matter of getting healthy. It's a matter of getting Gabe back. Maybe having EJ back in the lineup as well to shore up some key spots. Because, as you mentioned, trades as of even today, the Avs traded for Lars Eller out of Washington. He's a depth center from the Capitals who the Avs get, who really is pretty similar to Darren Helm in terms of what his role is going to be in the bottom six. I don't see him as a replacement for JT Compher as the second line center, but he gives the Avs a very veteran quality player who's, scored a game-winning goal in the playoffs for the Capitals not too long ago to their roster. And all that talented experience, similar to even a Jack Johnson who won a cup a year ago, it seems like the Avs see that as a big value. And by adding guys like him, they're shoring up their depth and to really kind of round out their edges, I think, really with the hope that Gabe Landeskog and everyone is going to be healthy by the time the playoffs actually get here.
Kyle, I think those are great points, too, where last year it was like, hey, we know we're maybe a favorite, but we haven't been able to get over that hump, so we got to go make some fairly big moves that will get us to where we need to be. This year, it's kind of like, we still like our pieces. We're just not healthy enough yet. Let's make sure we're just getting some depth guys in. As you mentioned, Lars Eller, like he's not exactly a spring chicken. I think he's well into his 30s, isn't he? So
right. You're
looking at guys now, like you said, we're really just adding some more depth so that we can be prepared if we do run into more of those injuries too along the way.
Right, exactly. And, we are having this conversation on a Wednesday afternoon
sure. With
some time left here, so we should note that something could change. The Avalanche do have a first-round pick in this upcoming draft that is at their disposal. McFarland discussed that and said, that's such a valuable asset that, if you're going to give it up, you better get something back in return that's very high quality. And, he left it open-ended and saying that, if there is a deal out there to be had where they could move that pick, then the Avs would be willing to do it, but it's only if it makes sense. And to this point, with seeing some of the more higher profile, second line center type players out there who might fill in that, Nazem Kadri sized hole in this lineup that's really been there all year. Those guys aren't left, they're already traded and signed elsewhere, the Patrick Kanes of the world. So it would make more sense to me that the Avs would be more quiet, but I'll be refreshing Twitter until then, I guess.
Well, Patrick Kane's name I don't know how realistic that was, but you certainly hear big names. Anytime you get to an NHL or NBA trade deadline, you hear all these big names. How realistic those names coming to your actual team, who knows, but it's fun to talk about. But with a first-round pick, as you said, you're kind of running out of those big names. So can you realistically see them maybe packaging something up here? Maybe they don't get like pound for pound, as far as an equal trade for first round pick, but a few other good players for the first rounder.
Yeah, I mean, I think fans at this point would love to see a deal where Sam Girard is packaged with a pick, and that helps the Avalanche get a little bit more, bang for their buck there. But I just don't see that happening. Even if the Avs would entertain offers for Girard, they're just not healthy enough or have that same kind of championship depth that I think from a year ago that they can really rely on. You know, they need all these guys to be healthy, and Girard's been playing really well lately. You know, I don't think they're in any kind of rush to move him. So, yeah, based on those assets, they do have that first. Maybe they do get creative, but to me, that's more of a sign of a desperate team, you know, trying to win a championship. And even shades of last year, to your point, you know, going out and getting Arturi Lehkonen, who, you know, looking at that trade now, what a beauty by Joe Sakic. I mean, for what they gave up and getting a top-line winger who's just been playing so well alongside Nathan MacKinnon his whole time in Colorado, it was a great move. But these Avalanche, I do think that it's more likely that they hold pat just based on the personnel that they have back. And that includes, you know, Cale Makar, who's not going to be playing tonight, but it seems like he's going to at least be available in the near future with that second concussion.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about next is, I mean, a lot of this just depends on when these guys get healthy. That's great news about Cale Makar. You mentioned Landeskog. You mentioned EJ as well. Like, what is it looking like for those guys potentially coming back?
Yeah, so, I mean, the best news right now is that Cale Makar is in the stage of his protocol where it's really up to him when he's ready. He's cleared that last hurdle of being through a contact practice with the team. And, you know, there's really no rush at all, I think, to get him on the ice either. The Avs have been playing so well. I think they've won six in a row now. They've just been steamrolling through teams, it feels like, through February. And it comes right at the time when Bo Byram has been really good for this team, even running with the first power play unit in the past few practices. So, you know, Cale needs to take his time, just make sure he's good to go, zero fuzziness, 100% confidence, no rush there. It is a concern that a guy gets two head injuries in back-to-back weeks, so, you know, we'll see just kind of how he looks in his initial return, if there's some rust there. You just really hope that there's no lingering consequences from all that. But beyond Makar, it's real fuzzy. You know, the best update I could get from Landeskog this week was that Jared would confirm that he is skating individually by himself again, which has been the case for a few weeks. You know, what started as basically just light striding and barely doing anything has grown into Gabe at least shooting pucks and putting a little bit more weight on both of those knees and looking a little bit more fluid. But we haven't seen anything that suggests that he's ready for contact or ready for, you know, even live drills. So I would say, as an Avalanche fan, still hold your breath. I think if he's back to skating with the team sometime in the next 2 weeks, that's pretty optimistic. But I think, fingers crossed, they're just hoping that he's back to playing maybe by April, give them a little bit of a cushion to get him in games before the playoffs start. But that's just a lot of speculation on my end, based on the fact that his timeline has been pushed back several times by the team, sometimes without really alerting the media in terms of, you know, where this guy is at. So, you know, we're waiting like everyone else. And with EJ, it's hard to say. Based on where he's at in his career and his cap numbers, he could be a long-term IR guy that could open up a little bit of salary. But those decisions have to get made, you know, obviously in the next couple of days here with the trade deadline looming. So, wouldn't be shocked to see that happen. But, you know, similar to Jack Johnson, you know, EJ is just a leader on this team, and they'd love to have him for that cup run.
And it always makes it such an interesting time when it comes up to the trade deadline when you're waiting on guys to get healthy because, you know, how much do you need to go in on rentals to get you where you need to be, or can you bank on these guys coming back? And when they do come back, can they be at the level you need them to be in? Kyle Fredrickson joining us, Colorado Avalanche beat writer for the Denver Gazette. Kyle, talk to us about this run by the Avs. I mean, injuries, they've been going through them all season, and they're still not out of the woods, as you just talked about, and you documented that. But they are finding a way. They've won the, what, six or seven in a row, so seven of the last eight games. They're continuing to put themselves in a great spot. They took down Vegas on Monday night. Obviously, Mikko Rantanen's playing at an all-time level here. But what has it been collectively for this team as we're seeing this light really turn on for the Avs?
Yeah, it's really been incredible to watch because, you know, you rewind not too long ago. I think it was January 12th when the Avs went to Chicago and lost that road game to the Blackhawks. And, you know, at that point, I think they had lost like 7 of 8, and it felt like the sky was falling. Oh, you know, was this team even going to make the playoffs anymore? And I bought into it a little bit just because they looked a little bit lifeless. They didn't have that same jump. Mikko Rantanen carried them through December, and then all of a sudden he kind of hit a rough patch, and nobody could score. And But since then, the Avs are, 14-2-2. You know, that's only two regulation, losses through that entire stretch. They haven't lost in regulation, actually, from now going back to late January. They're just playing great, and I think it's kind of two-pronged. Part of it is, Alexander Georgiev is really just turned it up a notch, and we've seen that with that, 31-save shutout against the Knights just a couple days ago, making, tough saves look so easy. He's got 10 wins over his last 12 starts, and he's just playing like a guy who's super comfortable, has really found his rhythm, and is playing behind a team that is just, running on all cylinders, for lack of a more original phrase there. That's three games in a row that the Avs have scored on their very first shot on goal. It seems like every night they're coming out with so much jump, and anytime that teams try to press them and try to get in their faces, they're making them pay. The puck handling in the neutral zone and the decision making, the Avs just seem to be one step ahead and have been getting a lot of clean looks up and down the lineup, and that really is what's most impressive right now, is because when you don't have the world's best defenseman and you're still playing like this, it just shows really that championship character, and we'll see how much the Avs can keep it going here. It's a tough month of March here for the team and the beat writer. I mean, they're playing every other night, it seems like, this for the next 30 days, but it should be fun, because right now the West is so mediocre that the Avs could play themselves into the top seed within the matter of a week or two. You've got Vegas sitting at number one right now with 76 points. The Avs are back in fifth, but that's with 73 themselves. So they've played fewer games than all the teams ahead of them. So I really do like how it's set up for them to not only get in the playoffs, but maybe be one of those top two seeds. And just a month ago or 6 weeks ago, that just didn't seem possible.
No, you're exactly right. Going back to, what'd you say, like January 12th or whatever, I mean, I think all of us were kind of like, man, the injuries are just going to prove to be too much for this team. Are they going to be able to keep their heads above water while they're waiting on these guys to get back?
Yeah, I was going to book my vacation,
And now you got to dial in, because like you said, it's every other night. It's bam, bam, bam. You got a lot of big games coming up.
Yeah. And I do think that this team has shown that they're for real, man. I there's going to be maybe a dip or two, some nights where they're not playing that well. But it just seems like for most of the season, it was a team that got a short off season break after winning the Cup. So many injuries. They were just clawing their way through, maybe playing uninspired a little bit from night to night. But we've seen none of that now. It's back to that brand of hockey that so many of these fans have enjoyed. In that Cup runs now.
Going at it tonight, going up against New Jersey. So what are we thinking about that matchup tonight, Kyle?
I think the Devils are one of the more fun stories from around the league. Not a lot of people thought they were going to be that great, I don't think. And, they're a team that's going for it. They get Timo Meier at the trade deadline, kind of bolstering that group. I don't think he's going to be in the lineup tonight. But just seeing the Devils making moves like that shows that they think they can be contenders. And also very cool, one of the opposing beat writers also went to Oklahoma State. So I always got to give a shout-out to my student newspaper, the Oak Legion, for putting some NHL beat writers out into the world. But, yeah, it should be a good game, high-octane offense, and a crowd that's in it every night, man. One of the best parts about this job is being in Ball Arena and feeling that energy, because feels like it doesn't matter what day of the week it is, that place is packed out and the fans are paying attention.
No. Ball Arena is the place to be, man. You've got the Avs, of course, and I think even Bednar, he threw in a Nikola Jokic reference the other day I was hearing, where he's talking about consistency and Mikko and everything and how good he's been, and he threw in a Joker reference. It is so awesome to see both. If you're a fan of the Avs and the Nuggets, you got to be in seventh heaven right now, because the Avs are on a tear like they haven't been on all season, and the Nuggets have kind of just been consistently at the top of that Western Conference. So, man, it's a great time to be a fan of those Ball Arena teams.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, and it's going to be a busy week. Games on and off, all at home coming up here, starting with the Devils. So, good time to tune back in and check out what these guys are doing.
All right, my friend. Kyle, it's been too long, man. Love catching up with you. We'll see what you're up to next week as we get closer and closer to the end of the season. Let's see what kind of move this Avs team can really make and, of course, round out the trade deadline stuff too. So we'll look forward to catching up with you again.
No doubt. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Thanks, man. Kyle Fredrickson, Colorado Avs beat writer for the Denver Gazette. Love talking to that guy. The Avs are smoking hot. Do they keep it going tonight, Angel? They go going up against the New Jersey Devils tonight. See if they can get another dub here. They've won six in a row. They've only lost like three or four games since January 12th. It's insanity.
The devil is my natural enemy, so yes.
So you're going to say the Avs take them down?
Yes.
Okay, I like it. Let's keep it rolling. 38 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, I know. I guess it's snowing out there. I looked out a little bit ago. I don't know. Is it still snowing? Noob, you plowing snow right now? Text us on our First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. But the cold, snowy weather will go away at some point. We got a sample of that last weekend. Don't worry. Golf season's right around the corner. All right? So check out our guys, Northern Colorado's hidden gem, the Eaton Country Club. Membership opportunities can be found at eatoncc.net. That's eatoncc.net. Again, First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. What a wild kind of day. I mean, the Perkins thing is, I don't want to say it's backfiring. You got Denver fans all pissed off, sure, which rightfully so. I'm just blown away at the model that is ESPN. And how we heard 2 weeks ago, Perkins was like, yeah, I totally believe the Joker can lead this team to a title. And I guess he can still feel that way. He's just saying that the MVP watch, you know, Joker's moving his name up the MVP ladder because he's stat padding. And everybody does it. And he's one of the only guys one of the only MVPs that has never led the league in scoring. And those three guys have something in common, Steve Nash and Dirk and Nikola. That was an interesting step to take in this conversation, and that's where you got to be very careful with this. But odds are he's going to win it again. He's probably going to win it again, and the national media will still probably ignore it quite a bit. And then we'll see if they win a title, and that will probably be ignored somehow too.
Do you know the last time Joel Embiid had his fifth triple-double all time? He only has five. December 31st. How many has Jokic had since December?
Oh, he's had to have at least
10.
10, 12?
At least.
Yeah. Because he came on once the new year started. That's our poll question today. Is he going to get, can he get seven more or eight more? Can he get eight more? If he gets eight more, he will move to third. No. Third, I think. Third or fourth.
So their magic number is 16 to clinch the one seed.
Mm-hmm.
If he could do eight, he could do half of those games, and then, you know, you don't have to stat pad for the last eight. You could just rest up a little bit.
It would be fourth if he does it. So Magic Johnson has 138, which, how many does he have total this year? How many does Joker have this year? 24? Is it 24? Because they're 24-0 when he has a triple-double this
24.
Year. So let's say he gets, how confident are you? He needs 38 to pass up Johnson. How confident are you that he's going to get eight more triple-doubles? Think he's going to get eight?
I think so. I mean, I didn't expect him to have one last night just because I didn't think he was going to play all that
much. I didn't either, but he had one of those kind of, you know, not crazy triple-doubles, but it's still triple-double.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say he does do it. He gets eight. He passes both. Because if he passes LeBron, then he just need one more. Come on.
Will Michael Malone push him to make sure he gets eight?
is Joker here's the thing.
Like, if he has seven,
yeah,
and they have two more games left before the playoffs,
and they don't
and you're
need
trying
to
rest
it.
Him.
Right. No, they'll rest him. So if you're banking on that, don't. How's Joker going to handle this, Angel? Is Joker going to handle it the salty way, which I hope he does, and come out and say, I'm ripping this thing apart now. Let's freaking go. You want to say I'm padding stats? We're going to dominate. Which they do anyway. Or does he shy away? I'll give you a Can I give you a bad example of the, how this in no way compares to Nikola Jokic, because it was when I was in junior high? I was I liked basketball a lot. I was more of a defensive guy, but there was a time, man. I was a scorer. I was a point guard. A junior high game, it was an eighth grade tournament we had, and I had 30 points. No joke. 30 points in an eighth grade game. One of my buddies, who was the way better basketball player ultimately, because he's a big dude, he didn't play very well. His mom was the principal of our school. I hope she's listening. She came up to me, cornered me, and said, "Have you ever heard of passing the basketball?
Just get the rebound."
Yep. She said, "Have you ever heard of passing the basketball?" I'll tell you, personally, that messed me up, and I became more of a defensive-minded guy. Was worried about how I was perceived. Can Joker, again, these guys are way different. I'm just saying, that's a mental thing. Is this going to be something that's in his head? And you would think no, but this is the first time I've ever heard him clap back.
Well, his response was kind of a joking thing. Like, he's like, "Well, it's easy when you're stat padding, but, you know," and then he kind of shakes his head.
Yeah, he's like, "I am doing it." He's like, "Yeah."
He's feeding into
it.
He's
joking it. He's messing around.
The casual fans will see that and be like, "Oh, see, he admits it."
No, hopefully not.
He's joking because he is the Joker.
The Joker. I loved what he said, though. It's like, "I am doing that." "Yeah, I am." It's like, "Well," he's like, "Ah, no." And then Vic asks a follow-up question, and it's like, "What about when you got those five rebounds on that one play, one possession?" He's like, "Well, one got blocked and the other got missed." So, I mean, it's just basic basketball.
Football and basket.
The guy blocked it. I caught it. I missed it. I also caught it. Went back up, missed it again. Then it got blocked. Then I rebounded it, put it back in.
Which is what you would expect from a seven-footer.
I'm not trying to miss it. Like, this game's too hard to try to miss it. Okay, so for the math question, we'll take a break and we'll get to what we learned. I'm going to say he gets eight, okay? That would mean he has 30 more to go to pass up Magic Johnson.
Wow.
Does he get that next year? Probably.
Probably, yes.
The rate he's gained triple-doubles the further he progresses into his career. Let's say he gets 30 next year then. Then he needs 43, I believe, to pass up Oscar Robertson. That's a season and maybe a bleed over into a next one. And then he needs 198.
It's going to take a lot to pass up Westbrook.
Yeah.
But Westbrook's also on the decline of his career.
Well, and you can't really base off his triple-double output, Joker's triple-double output, over the last 4 years, over the first portion of his career, because he wasn't that kind of player.
Right.
Now he is. He's a guy that you easily say is going to get 20. So if he needs, if he needs 100 more, if he plays, 20, 40, 60, 80, 100, if he plays four or five more years.
What was his contract?
I think he's got 4 years on there.
There you go.
Four more years after this one, I believe. 49 minutes after the hour. What did we learn today? Coming up next, it's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. On Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sean Payton, it is. How are we feeling, Broncos country? Hear team talk and coverage every day in Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
What do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
What did we learn on this Wednesday? March 1st, first day of March. Snow still coming, but we're on our way to warmer days. What did we learn today? All right, this is what I took away from my whole thing. And as we're examining this with Perkins and ESPN, this is the ESPN model. This is the first take model. All that stuff. The pardon my interruption or your interruption or whatever it is. All those shows, they have a model and a design. And if you don't bring the fire and the energy on that stuff, you are going to not have a job very quickly. So I'm not saying Perkins is innocent on all this, but he's going in on a wild freaking take, and ESPN's eating it up.
they'll eat it up until Jokic drops, you know, 41-10-10 on Friday night.
Got Memphis on Friday night. Memphis on Friday. I put a call out to our guy David Roddy, see if we could get him on, preview the show.
That'd be fun.
Preview the game a little bit. That would be nice. What else did you learn? Did you learn who your favorite Peyton was?
No, I think I already knew that. I learned a little bit more about Sean Payton.
Okay.
And your take about, did he get too in love with the media side of things, and did he forget how to coach speak?
Yeah, I think he's not doing, he's not, for better or worse, right? He's not messing with the coach speak thing. He's chomping at the bit to get up there on that podium and talk. He's been chomping at the bit to do this for a while now. Will that die down as we get, once we get into the season? Maybe so. Maybe it will. But right now, he's enjoying it. I'm not saying don't appreciate what you have in Sean Payton. You have a good coach. Maybe a great coach. But don't get caught up in that same trap, Angel. Not that you will. But don't get caught up in that same trap that we got caught up in last year. As far as saying everything is just amazing. Everything he says is the best thing that's ever been said. You got to be very careful with that stuff. So I will leave you with that. I enjoyed the press conference because there was a lot of information there. I enjoyed the George Payton stuff. Obviously, Javonte Williams, Tim Patrick, that's great. We'll see what happens with Draymond Jones. And I'm starting to see maybe why George Payton's valued a little bit more here. Maybe he is going to do the tough stuff that Sean Payton doesn't want to mess with. We'll see how that all works out. That's still an interesting dynamic there, too. And you know what? Great stuff from Dalen Kuntz today. We'll have that available. We do have it available via podcast at 1310kfk.com and theholeshow.com. I am looking forward to Friday. The weekend's going to be great, too. Big Sky Conference Tournament, all of it. Fantastic. That'll do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Thursday. Good night, Northern Colorado.